Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable to discuss the top stories of the week. My guests, Nikki Mayo, president of the Baltimore Association of Black Journalists, and Dr. Avis Jones DeWeaver, political analyst and senior public policy advisor for the Black Women's Roundtable. On deck tonight, President Biden enters the fight over the vote. Texas Democrats leave the Lone Star State to prevent a vote on more restrictive voting laws. Another incident involving a so-called Karen confrontation at a New Jersey shopping mall, and the return of COVID infections and deaths. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You are welcome to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Nikki, Avis, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Thank you
for having us.
Let us start with President Biden's speech yesterday in Philadelphia, directly attacking some of the more restrictive vote laws that have passed since the 2020 election, and also talking very much about his distaste for the position of some members of the Republican Party.
They want to make it so hard and inconvenient that they hope people don't vote at all. That's what this is about. This year alone, 17 states have enacted, not just proposed, but enacted 28 new laws to make it harder for Americans to vote. The 21st century Jim Crow assault is real. It's unrelenting, and we're going to challenge it vigorously.
Nikki, he has mentioned 21st century Jim Crow before. Is he right?
He's absolutely right. When you have 17 states enacting 28 laws, like right after the election, you know something doesn't smell right. You had, he was talking about the For the People Act as well as the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. Both of these are supposed to just advance, like, universal voting rights. I understand states want state rights and they want to do their own type of elections, but when you're starting to see something that mimics poll taxes, you know, okay, you can't mail in. They're just trying to reverse a lot of things that made it easier for disadvantaged communities to get to the polls. They want to do that now, though. So the questioning of the timing, as well as we needed that for a pandemic. Why is it a problem now? Yes, we are really going backwards and definitely looking like a poll tax here.
You know, interesting, Avis, that the president really jumped into this fight full-fledged as it relates to how states are conducting business. But he didn't mention the filibuster situation on Capitol Hill. Do you think that was by design?
You know, to some degree, absolutely was by design. That was like a glaring omission. I'm wondering, though, how that plays into the larger strategy. I am hoping that that does not foretell a decision on his part not to be working towards at least, at minimum, a carve-out, in terms of being able to have the filibuster not apply to constitutional issues, not having it apply to voting rights. They have carve-outs in the and the filibuster for other things, right? In terms of the budget, in terms of even court appointments. The Republicans did that last one, right? So what I'm saying is it's not unprecedented that you suspend it in certain areas and not have it apply and not completely obliterate in all areas, which they likely do not have the support for. But as it relates to this particular issue, this is the fundamentals of what we are as a society. And the degree to which the Black community is under attack, not just in terms of making voting more difficult, but specifically having state passing laws that in essence, not even in essence, in fact, will take away the power of voters after people have voted by saying that state legislatures can in essence override elections. That right there is ridiculous. If this Congress and that Senate and the Democrats in the Senate don't do something about that, they might as well kiss their even slim majority goodbye, because their main supporters will be basically sacrificed on the conciliatory politics, when at the end of the day, what it is doing is it's allowing them to be able to allow black people's voting rights to be attacked fervently all around this country.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. We do have some doozies this week for you. If you want to join the conversation, we invite you to give us a call at 202-319-7810. You know, Nikki, one of the things that, while not necessarily surprising, but I think it's really sad that we are seeing this great divide, as Avis was just talking about, where we have mostly, although not entirely, but mostly, you know, the southern states that for example went for Trump in 2016, and now. You know, they're changing the rules, and I think it's just really fascinating that in some cases, not just the rules about how you can vote, how frequently you could vote, but even in some cases, who can conduct the recount. I mean, that's just a big what?
It's really putting a major hole inside of voter confidence. It's already hard enough to get people to the polls that are not traditional voters. And when you're putting up things like, okay, we had COVID restrictions, we had to work around these things, when you're telling me that something as simple as a drive-through voting, which worked fine, mail-in voting, that we're not going to be able to do these things, it makes me very nervous. On top of that, think about the partisan poll watchers that they're going to allow in Texas, okay? Like, okay, so people can almost intimidate you as you're standing in line. These are very nerve-wracking additions to the voting process. And it's not going to, like, make people want to stand in line for hours, because we saw those pictures of those long lines for 2020. You're really deterring the voters every which way you can. And the disenfranchisement efforts are just glaring at you. So, no, I don't know how we got back here. Unfortunately, we are here again with these politicians. And it's really hurting when you have to go and talk to first-time voters, people who have already been disenchanted with voting, and let them know that you might go vote, and then, you know, your elected officials might turn around and manipulate things to the point where your vote essentially does not count. Like, we should not be in this place. And you could tell that, you know, all the horses are getting lined up for 2022.
Yeah.
So it's as crazy as gerrymandering goes.
Without a doubt. And you know, to that point, we see this big fight in Texas, where the House Democrats essentially just pulled out of the state. They came to D.C. To support and to ask for a vote on the For the People Act, the John Lewis Voting Act, and to prevent a quorum in the Texas State House. To prevent, you know, Avis, the vote on more restrictive voting rules. Yeah, I think, you know, on one hand, this high-profile action makes a serious, not just symbolic point, but so far it works for the next 30 days. But the reality is that they don't have a majority. And even if they go back and the governor keeps calling a special session, there's no way that I can see that they will, you know, win the day.
Right. Well, they understand that. And they know that this is not something that will be, you know, and ultimately victorious in the future. But what they are trying to do is to buy time, and number one. And number two, demonstrate to those Democrats in the Senate what fighting looks like, because clearly they don't know how, okay? And so what they are doing is, by delaying this and coming to Washington, they are in essence lobbying and pushing Democratic senators to say, we need a federal fix. We cannot delay this forever. We're doing all we can in this moment, but this is not a fight that we will win, because they don't have the numbers there. They can't just continue to delay. So at some point, they will lose that effort if there is no federal legislation that would outlaw those things that they are trying to pass in Texas, and outlaw things that have been passed all across the country and are still trying to be passed. You know, this is a five-alarm fire situation when we talk about voting rights in this nation. And the laissez-faire attitude that I believe that we've seen so far, particularly in terms of many of those in Congress, and I'm saying specifically the Democrats, honestly, to me, they have not dealt with this in the serious manner that it deserves. Every other issue to me has seemingly taken precedent. You know, this needs to be the first thing that they focus on and the most fervent thing that they focus on, because if this is not in order, then moving forward, nothing else you want to do will be successful, because what the Republicans are interested in doing is a power grab that will undermine the ability of voters to have their votes counted, and specifically those voters who are more likely to vote for Democratic candidates. So if the Democrats want to sacrifice Black people's voting power, they need to understand that when they do that, they are hurting themselves in the process.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. Let's talk to TJ calling from Northwest D.C. TJ, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you today?
Doing fine.
You know what? I've been watching the politics, and Mitch McConnell was running roughshod over the Democrats. And then as soon as he lost his seat, we put in Chuck Schumer. And instead of Chuck Schumer doing anything, we're dealing with the president handling these outrageous senators instead of Chuck Schumer corralling these people and making them vote the way they're supposed to vote. Also, to me, whenever the Democrats are in office, instead of giving us anything, they tell us we're losing everything and we got to fight to keep what y'all have instead of doing anything for us. And I'm tired of this narrative over and over and over again, that as soon as you get in there, you got to fight for me for what I already had, so you can't do nothing for me.
Okay, TJ, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Nikki, your thoughts about what TJ just shared with us?
I was going to say that he is voicing the frustration that a lot of people who support Democratic Party leaders are saying. You know, real talk, Avis is right. The Democrats that just came up here from Texas just kind of showed the ones that are in the halls of Congress, this is how you stall and get the stuff not to happen, okay? That is, frankly, he's right, they're right. It would be better if we didn't spend this two-year cycle thing that we keep doing where it's like, okay, we're just going to battle for his crumbs. You need to be a little bit more aggressive, because we're not seeing the laissez-faire thing she just talked about. It's not working. I feel bad for the voters. Think about it. This Texas Senate bill, the guy who wrote it, the author of the bill, which is Texas State Senator Brian Hughes, he's defending it. He says it's common sense reform. It's going to keep people from cheating and make it harder for people to vote. I'm like, no, make it harder to cheat. The question is, who's cheating? Like, what are we talking about here? You're making stuff up again. And they do that every time you lose. When you lose, you cannot just start changing rules. That's not how this goes.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's move on to the next story, which, and this to me is, again, how many times are we going to have to go through this?
Oh my God! Do you see this? Oh my God, I never thought nothing like this would happen to me. She just tried to run and hit me. And now she, did you see her? You saw her, right? They all saw her. Oh my God. Karen had a breakdown. She tried to hit me. Ask your workers. She tried to hit me.
That was Ijeoma Ukenta talking about Abigail Elphick at the Short Hills Mall Victoria's Secret earlier this month. If it wasn't so disturbing, it would be funny. Apparently, there was and for ladies, you know this, that, you know, every once in a while, Victoria's Secret has, you know, free pair of panties. And so Miss Ukenta went to the store to shop for hers. Miss Elphick was there. And according to a reported account, Miss Elphick nudged Miss Ukenta, and Miss Ukenta started recording her, and Miss Elphick, who is white, Miss Ukenta, who is black, Miss Elphick was seen trying to swat the camera away, and then she had a breakdown, meltdown, whatever you want to call it, and it has become a viral thing. Before we go to the break, Avis, I know you've seen this video. Your thoughts about this?
She had a breakdown, meltdown. What she needed to have was a butt kicking. I mean, I'm so tired of these Karens. Okay, I've had it up to here with the Karens. And the self-proclaimed victimization of the Karens, because if you that story to its ultimate conclusion is that Karen called the police.
Yeah.
Because Karen felt attacked because she was being filmed for her ridiculous, violent behavior. And of course, the cops sympathized with her. You know, at some point, I know maybe, you know, I don't want anybody to end up in jail. However, Karens need a smack upside the head instead of all these videos. I'm just tired. I'm tired of it.
Well, hold your point.
As long as people continue to do this, they're going to continue to do this as long as they get away with it.
Hold your point. So hold your point, because I'm going to let you finish. I want Nikki to chime in. We've got Renee calling from Southeast D.C. She also wants to talk about it. Lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week, and we invite you to join the conversation. So please stay with us. And don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. Don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone, and you can hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We're back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are at the Reporters Roundtable to discuss the top stories of the week. My guests are Nikki Mayo, president of the Baltimore Association of Black Journalists, Dr. Avis Jones-DeWeaver, political analyst and senior public policy advisor for the Black Women's Roundtable, and of course, you, the listener on deck. Of course, we are talking about a myriad of things. Of course, President Biden entering the fight over the vote in Philadelphia, Texas Democrats leaving the Lone Star State to prevent a vote on more restrictive voting laws, and where we left off before the break, a so-called Karen confrontation at a shopping mall in New Jersey. And of course, we are going to talk about COVID-19 infections and deaths on the rise because of the Delta variant. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Avis, are you still agitated?
I'm still agitated.
Well, then go right ahead and finish your agitated point.
At some point, put your phone down and knock Karen the blank out. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
But that would get you
in more
trouble.
I know, but I'm trying to get everyone arrested. Jail satisfied. I would go to jail actually satisfied, de-stressed. You know, I'd work it out on the other end. Okay, I'm sorry, I can't with these Karens. I'm done. I'm finished with them. Please don't do that in front of me, Karen. I'm gonna warn you. I ain't gonna take no damn video of you.
Nikki, your thoughts about that?
I cannot believe I'm the Baltimore chick saying, "Do not choose violence today." Okay. Karen woke up choosing violence. Okay, I'm going to say this. Karens, you cannot weaponize the police and not think that you are going to, like, get off scot-free. And in this case, she was absolutely wrong. The Abigail Upolick, or whatever her last name is, I apologize for not getting it correctly.
Yeah, Elphick. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, they both have very difficult names. I'm kind of reminded of doing Black Friday coverage. Harold, I know you've done at least once in your life, okay?
Yes.
So when people come out there at midnight, they're like ready to, like, there's some weirdness that's happening where they're ready to bum rush the door and knock everybody over. And I always wondered, like, okay, if a fight breaks out, which I'm blessed that I've never had to cover a fight, you know, try explaining that to the cops. So in this case, I've been to the Victoria's Secret sales. I know what they're talking about. And if you want to go ripping stuff out of people's hands or pushing people, okay, technically, that's assault. Okay, so let's start there. And then if you think that you're going to, like, you know, jump up, like real talk, punks jump up to get beat down, okay? Karens, you cannot keep doing this. You're going to get, number one, caught on camera. Then you're going to go viral. Then you're going to get doxxed because all of your information is going to be out there. I mean, this woman's home and everything information is out there. She's right to be scared because folks are really about to just blast you. And then finally, yes, you will lose your job and your standing in the community. So I may not want to beat you up because I'm a little nervous about the legal repercussion there, but your life will come to a screeching halt.
Yeah, absolutely. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Renee calling from Southeast D.C. Renee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening. You know what? I'm just so done with this Karen stuff. It is so beyond frustrating. And I seriously think there has to be some type of laws enacted because this is very, very dangerous. Karen could get someone killed, basically. You know, I mean, it's so wrong, this entitlement. Where do you get off? I swear, I'm so, thank you, Lord, that I have never come in contact with a Karen ever in my life. But I'm telling you right now, just like your guest just said, it's not going to go down with a camera, Karen. I'm just letting you know. Also, on the other side of your previous conversation, I just wanted to say something about, you know, leadership. It seems like there's just, everyone is just kind of going any kind of way. It's crazy that there's no leader, no Martin Luther King, no, you know, some type of black movement leader that is, you know, stepping forward and trying to corral the masses to, you know, get out there and vote and not have to worry about all of these restrictions because you're legit. You don't have to worry about, oh, you can't do this because you don't have this and this and that. No, we focus on let's make our communities better now before the elections and in all cases, because we worry about the presidential election. We don't worry. That's nothing. The president can do nothing if there's a Republican rule in the House and Senate. It's just, it's just backwards. Everything is flipped upside downwards. And it's so frustrating, but it just has to be resolved.
Yeah. Renee, thank you so much for your passion and your phone call. Before I go to the next phone call, what about that, you know, Avis, that last point that she was making? It is a very, very interesting point. And not without some validity, but this is 2021. This is not, you know, the 1950s, the 1960s. In some ways, one could say that the political aspirations of the black community, in some ways, are very, very different. And then again, as they say, what is past is prologue. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that there are some people out there that are fighting very much to mobilize the black community around voting. The challenge is, and these laws are an example of it, there is a moving target. The rules change all the time. You just can't get up and vote when you're black in this nation and find that it's easy, because they do stuff with our communities, like moving the polling places, like changing rules at the last minute, like purging the voter rolls so that you thought you were registered and you were registered, but you got purged and you didn't know. I mean, there are so many things that we are always navigating, and now these new rules are in place. But you have organizations like the Black Women's Roundtable. We're having an action tomorrow, in fact, on Capitol Hill around this. You have people like Latasha Brown and Black Voters Matter matter, that travel around the country to specifically make sure people are registered and let them know about the changes in their communities. We are mobilizing Black women's organizations all across this country to go into communities to educate people about the different changes that are being made in states that are going to make it more difficult for them to know to know what to do next time to be able to vote. And so it is, you know, I think that we like to be nostalgic about Dr. King, and he did some wonderful contributions, obviously, for not only this country and for Black people specifically, but for the world. But I want us to know that now it looks different. We have leaders in various forms, and also some of them are in the Black female form, and we are doing what we need to do in order to make sure that our community is educated, but we're also doing what we need around voting, around the changes in voter laws, but we're also doing what we can do to put pressure on elected officials to fight back at the federal level, because given what's happened with the Voting Rights Act, we need a fix in federal law. Having to play whack-a-mole in a state-by-state situation is really almost impossible to overcome.
Yeah, good point. Let me go to Nate. Mm-hmm. Nate, calling from Bowie. Nate, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how y'all doing? Yeah, I was thinking about the Karens, but there's also the Kens. So, you know, they did the whole Capitol insurrection thing, and they had their, you know, helmets and flag jackets and all kinds of, you know, equipment and whatnot. They were prepared to fight, you know, in the hills and in a bunker or whatever. They got arrested, and then they all turned into a cupcake. Oh, I can't sit in jail. There's roaches in my cell. Oh, I need organic food, the guy with the horns. You know, so it's like the epitome. It's the epitome of entitlement. They thought they were going to do that and just go home. How stupid is that? I mean, they didn't realize not only the cameras are catching you, but the Capitol servers are logging everybody's phone that's emitting any kind of signal. So that's how a lot of them got caught. But they felt like they could just do it and walk away.
Yeah. Okay, Nate, I was about to say Ken. I apologize for that. Nate, that's thank you so much. I would like to say, you know, all jokes aside, and Avis brought this up, that Abigail Elphick was the one who called police. But if you, I would highly recommend that you watch all 7 videos. Yes, there are 7 videos, 1 through 7 in succession, where Ijeoma Ukenta literally chronicles this event from the SWAT all the way to her visit to the police station. And as a matter of fact, she has a GoFundMe page because she said that she needs to hire a good lawyer to address this, because that's how far this has gone. She has already raised more than $79,000 for that. But I think the issue about the weaponizing of the police is the thing that is not funny, because in one of the videos, initially the security guard who first approached her did not believe her. She did. The security guard did not believe Ijeoma Ukenta, and Abigail Elphick, I mean, she put on an entire show. I mean, it was amazing. The lying down on the floor, prostrate on the floor in front of the cash register desk. Then,
Carol, can I jump in about the dynamic of those type of sales? You know, I think it's like buy 3 and you get 1 free or something to that effect.
Yeah.
So people like to act like it's Barney's bargain basement. Like they want to go in there and rip things out of people's hands. That's why I brought the Black Friday thing. But again, if you're going to go in there and get feisty and start fighting people, you can't slip into the Karenisms of I'm going to cry and call the police. Like you came to fight. You wanted to fight over, sadly, a pair of panties. And it's like, okay, now you want to like cry wolf. You can't do that. And it's all being chronicled on video. That's the only thing that's different from today versus we could have gone back into like the 1950s and 60s with somebody whistling at a woman and woo, all of a sudden they're dead. Like they cry, the crying wolf thing has to stop. I'm glad we have ways of documenting it. And I don't know if you guys saw that, because we talk about weaponizing the police, but think about the weaponizing of a white woman's tears. And I remember that was like a big in vogue thing a long time ago, like, you know, drinking white woman's tears or drinking white tears. The reality of it is they know that they cry, the world comes to a screeching halt, and that whoever they're crying and pointing at like a baby, they will become the villain in the story. If we didn't have that video, then yeah, we would have thought that the black woman was attacking this woman by that white woman's account. And the whole panic attack thing seemed a little after the effect. You know, you were really big and bad until the cameras were rolling, and then you realize, oh shoot, I might be jeopardizing my livelihood. That trend of white women crying on cue that was going around TikTok less than a month ago, that was a good example of, we've seen that before. I think almost every black person can say they've seen a white woman break into a set of tears that look very forced and fake, because they knew that if they started crying, then all of a sudden the opposite person, the black person or person of color, would be the villain in the story.
I will say, having watched the entire series of episodes, it's like, you know, Netflix almost, because you got to go to the next one. That, you know, hats off to one of the Victoria's Secret employees, where, you know, after Elphick literally started chasing Yukenta around the store, that she stepped in and stood there. And
she doesn't get paid enough for that.
Yeah.
she
really doesn't. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Louie calling from New Mexico. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Hey, I was just wondering if you could tell me, you guys keep listing that the reasons that Texas is trying to enact the voter restrictions. Could you list which restrictions they're trying to enact?
I know, you know, one of the things that first comes to mind, and I'm sure my guests can talk about this as well. The thing that I found so strange was the one where they wanted to restrict drive-up voting. And I think, you know, one of the arguments is that They want to eliminate that those kind of things came up all over the country because we were in the midst of the pandemic. And I personally don't see anything wrong with you driving up in your, you know, driving up in your car where there is a, you know, a voting or polling place and handing someone your ballot. They're also talking about restricting mail-in ballots. Also, you know, that also really ramped up during the pandemic. Avis, do you want to comment on some of the other things as well?
Sure. And before I do, I just want to say, in terms of the drive-up voting, here's one thing that I think is important that we know specifically about how that went down in Texas. It was disproportionately located in largely black areas. And so this is an example of how oftentimes with these voter restriction laws, they will change something that appears to be on its face race neutral, because you can say, hey, anybody can have drive up voting. But in terms of how it was practiced, how it was used in practice, it was disproportionately used by the black community. And you see examples like that all across the country where specific types of voting traditions or mechanisms to encourage greater voting participation that is disproportionately used by the black community, those specific things are undermined in law. That can be an example of that. Souls to the polls types of things and changes, and I think they were able to be intimidated to pull that out. But one of the things that they
cannot
were
black
to
people
do,
repeat that again, please.
Let me make this clear.
Hold on. I didn't hear what he said. What was his question?
Can black people walk to polling places? Listen, how many miles do you want to walk to voting?
Hold on, because I want everybody to get their point. Okay, Avis, go ahead.
He asked how many miles. He said, can black people walk to, you know, I can walk, you can walk. But what I want you to understand is this. The access to polling places is not the same across different types of neighborhood makeups, meaning that there are more polling places located in white neighborhoods than there are located in black neighborhoods. That's why you have these long lines in black neighborhoods that takes hours, literally hours, for people to vote. And then you have white people who can roll back in there, roll up, vote 15 minutes, they're on their way. That is called disproportionate access. So I don't want to hear this thing about can black people walk. If they have the ability to walk, they can walk. But how about we provide equal access to voting so that they don't have a greater sort of burden on them in order to have access to voting rights, which they have as citizens of this country. I want black people to be able to roll up and walk into a polling station and vote and be out in 15 minutes, just like white people can.
Instead of standing in line for hours and hours, all day. And I think that is really the issue. Also, we did see in Georgia, the movement of polling places and for mail-in balloting, the removal of the mail-in balloting containers. And I think that, that is the issue. And let me just say that if anyone has been listening over the past week of the investigative reporting that has been going on the last few months of the Trump administration, one of the things that his aides have been quoted as saying, and this has been documented by many people, including Washington Post reporter Carol Leonik, that in the initial hours after the polls began to close on November 3rd, President Trump was well ahead. But the problem was those things began to change when the mail-in ballots came. And that is the thing that disturbs a great many people of color, is when you have Republican-led legislatures who begin to curtail the kind of voting methods that eliminated the person who lost and the person that they were supporting. Louis, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Let me go to Jamie. Jamie calling from Southeast D.C. Jamie, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. My comment is, if I was the young lady that was videoing, I would have, forget pride and ego. I would not have run from Karen, and I would have allowed Karen to hit me, and I would have passed out on that floor, and I'd have flipped that whole script and acted the fool, waited for the police to get there finally to see what they would have done to Karen, whether or not they would have locked her up. Then I would have sued Victoria's Secret. Also, because they stood there for a while and no one bothered to call mall security or the police. I mean, if it was us, the police would have been there. So I'd have seen, waited to see what the police were going to do. I'd have passed out on that floor.
Yeah, well, there you go. Let us hope, Jamie, that you never have to experience what Ijeoma Ukenta experienced. Yeah, let us hope that that doesn't happen. And this is certainly not over, because I'm very, very interested in seeing how this plays out, whether or not this moves to a hearing of any sort. I would be very, very interested to see, where this goes. But, sometimes it just leaves me speechless. Let us move on to this last issue, and that is the Delta variant, COVID-19. We are seeing a rise in infections in many states and a rise in deaths. And this is coinciding with this, again, Nikki, a cultural divide over vaccinations. And what we have seen reported, particularly in Missouri, for example, is that 99% of the new COVID-19 Delta variant deaths are people who have not been vaccinated. And I think that this portends for a really, really difficult summer and fall, and indeed rest of 2021.
I really get nervous about the anti-vax versus the vax cultural debate more than anything else, mm-hmm. primarily because everyone has become an epidemiologist. Everyone seems to understand that COVID, of all these different forms, they understand coronavirus. And as a result, those who want to be anti-vaxxers are going to be anti-vaxxers. We have growing numbers among young people as well, like people under 18 years old, and it becomes a question of, like, well, do we vaccinate children or not? it's nerve-wracking because it's becoming one of those, you get vaccinated if you want to, and you protect yourself against this if you want to, and the other ones, they don't. What I'm nervous about most, just kind of like, you know, as a person observing numbers as they keep coming in, is this comment that came from Dr. Scott Gottlieb. He used to be the commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, and he said it's going to get worse before it gets any better, and that these incoming end of the summer going into back to school months, August, September, and possibly as well as October, expect a surge with the Delta variant being a part of it. And are the vaccinations that we all went and got our cute cars for, are they going to protect us against that? Plus, you have a very good group of folks that are like, they're not getting any type of immunization period for this. They're just going to weather it out. There's too many things that are kind of making a great, perfect storm, if you will, as we're about to send kids back to school. And you know folks want to open up right now. So the culture war I see more is the vax versus the anti-vaxxer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to ignore the fact that when it comes to communities of color, it's not that we're more like our immune systems are worse or that we're not capable of fighting off infection. The main thing is access. And when you start looking at our numbers about access to health care, about how we're treated when we get inside of the doc-in-a-box urgent care or your doctor if you have one, that is very uncomfortable. So I'm more worried about, okay, hey, can we make sure that we have it? And I know I'm going to come up against people who are like, you know, Tuskegee. I'm not dismissing it at all. I understand the reasons for their apprehension, so I'm not going to beat them that way. Just reminding you that when it comes to access to health care, you might have a doctor, but real talk, does your doctor take your concerns seriously? Do they dismiss you? Are you going to be able to get into an urgent care, an ER, or whatever in the event that this coronavirus strain, the Delta variant, overtakes your body? So think about it that way. Your access to health care, is it equitable? And if it's not, you might want to consider, you know, that whole vaccine situation.
Avis, your thoughts?
Yeah, it is really disturbing. There is a huge divide in different parts of the nation, right? Southern states are much less likely to have a large proliferation of vaccines, vaccinated people. You've had Tennessee that's basically specifically telling health officials not to even promote not only a vaccine with regards to COVID, but any vaccines during quote-unquote vaccination awareness month. So it is not only a cultural divide, I would argue it is a political divide. And, you know, quite frankly, Black people, we don't need to get mixed up in this ridiculousness. What's happening right now is that this is the after effects of a Trump sort of era. And what's interesting to me is that a lot of these right-wing people who are talking about the vaccine as if it's nothing, as if it's something bad, if it's not important that people get vaccinated, they're making it a political issue. They got vaccinated. Okay, mm-hmm. Trump has been vaccinated. You know, all of these Republicans that you're seeing up in Congress right now, they've been vaccinated, all right? Yet they're trying to tell their own people, and what's unfortunate that was also is that we're disproportionately located in a lot of these southern states that don't have a high proliferation of vaccine usage, which means it's more dangerous, particularly now that we have this much more deadly variant out there. So I am just going to just hope that we understand that in spite of the reality of what has happened in this nation's past with regards to Tuskegee and other types of horrible experiences, this is one time where we need to take a proactive action with regards to protecting ourselves from this disease, and that means vaccination. I myself have used Moderna. That was developed in part by a Black woman, okay? That was developed in part by a Black woman. And I just have to tell you, we have to take all measures possible to protect ourselves because this thing isn't over. And as you alluded to, once the weather gets colder and as this variant continues to proliferate, I wouldn't be surprised if things continue to get worse and worse into the fall and winter.
One of the things that I think is really, really troublesome and I don't know whether or not you've heard about this case, the 24-year-old nurse in Lafayette, Louisiana, Olivia Guidry, who died of COVID. Now, she, again, let me say, 24 years old, she had tweeted, and this is the thing that I find just really, really disturbing. Last year, a year ago. She says, quote, in her tweet, this vaccine has been released using a recombinant DNA faster than any vaccine in the world. It manipulates your DNA at the tiniest molecular level. Do, period, not, period, get, period, it, period, it's not safe. But then, and this is a nurse who is treating, what, COVID patients in the midst of the surge, the July 2020 surge. She catches COVID. She resisted getting vaccinated. She died of COVID-related issues. And that is the thing. It is a sad story. It is an unfortunate story. But the misinformation, you know, the disinformation that is getting all of us who are against, you know, vaccinations in trouble. As I said in the beginning, most of the people who are now dying are unvaccinated people who are dying from the more contagious Delta variant, Nikki. And Black community, how about, you know, just the entire American community, because, you know, short of another shutdown, we're all clumped together now, whether we're flying, shopping, walking, whatever. And, you know, nobody's doing the masks anymore because the restrictions are down. And if you're not vaccinated, you could once again be at risk, and we could see 2020 in 2021.
Yeah, I mean, the whole everyone on the honor code thing and wear your mask, quote unquote, if you're not vaccinated. I've been out and about. I've seen how people are really interacting, and it's kind of like COVID's gone. So maybe it takes the whole may the odds be in your favor thing. Maybe it takes that for people to realize that COVID has not gone anywhere. People have just gotten their vaccinations. I've talked to people who they never get the flu shot. Okay. Mm. You know, good luck. I hope that you never need it. But if you don't want to get it, it's your choice. But we are going to see surges. Cold and flu season will be here. These things are going to start peaking again. And I'm just trying to put a SOS out there to Black America in particular, because we know that the health system has often been used against us, and yeah, our bodies have been used to use science. So I just really want us to be protected. Wear
absolutely
a mask. You don't want to get vaccinated.
I got to go. Last word, Nikki Mayo, Dr. Avis Jones-DeWeaver, thank you both so much. Stay smart. Stay safe. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, July 14th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.